Old Testament reading comes from Numbers 12, 1 to 16. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. For he had married a Cushite woman, and they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all men that were on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tent of meeting." And the three of them came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the door of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forward. And he said, "Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to them in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is entrusted with all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth clearly and not in dark speech. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And when the cloud removed from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, do not punish us because we have done foolishly and have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried to the Lord, "Heal her, O God, I beseech thee." But the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut up outside the camp 7 days, and after that she may be brought in again." So Miriam was shut up outside the camp 7 days, and the people did not set out on the march till Miriam was brought in again. After that, the people set out from Hazeroth and encamped in the wilderness of Paran. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Once you get the full effect, so I'll mention it again. It's in the office, and so I'll find a new piece. I'm going to have it taped from the back because I'm too stupid to remember to turn it on and off. So thank you. Those who are wondering, I tried 2 weeks to use the recorder on my own, but I'm going to tape it through the back. But I need to find an adapter first. And when I do that, then we'll be good to go. There's an optimistic farmer, and there is such things. And he lived right next door to a woman who was not quite as optimistic. Where this farmer would get up every morning and say things like, "Yeah, it's morning, thank you, God." And she'd say, "Oh, God, it's morning." You know the kind of people I'm talking about, right? He was very optimistic. He'd see good things. It would be a beautiful day. And he'd say, "Oh, it's going to be a wonderful day." She'd say, "Oh, it's probably going to scorch the field." He'd see clouds. And it looks like we're going to get some rain for our fields. Yeah, probably muddy everything up. Won't be able to get in the field anymore. No matter what he'd say, she'd find something to be just not happy about it. So he went out and he found this dog. And he trained this dog. And this is just a great dog. And he wanted to show her this dog. He says, "I want to show you this dog." So they went down out by his pond. He throws his stick out into the pond. And the dog runs across the top of the water, picks up the stick, and runs back. And he says, "What do you think?" She says, "Dog can't swim." There are people that are discouraging no matter what. You know what I'm saying? Even though, you know, we have that song that we home on the ranch, yeah, we never heard a discouraging word. Well, they weren't my family. I know that much. There were plenty of discouraging words in my house growing up. But the point is, biblically, we aren't supposed to be discouragers. We're supposed to be encouragers. Now think about the story and what was going on there. The chain gang. They're in the midst of this 40 years in the wilderness, and Moses is getting to talk with God a lot, face to face. How many of you have brothers and or sisters? How many of you were the favorite? Wasn't me. Those of us who weren't the favorite sometimes didn't like it when the favorite got all the good stuff, right? Well, I'm thinking that's what's going on with Miriam and Aaron right now. You know, hey, he's just like that. We came from the same womb. Come on. Why is he getting such special treatment? So they start talking bad about it. And they start by picking on his choice of a wife. Now, there's nothing biblical that he did wrong in marrying a Cushite woman. God says we aren't supposed to marry an unbeliever, but he didn't say whether the believer had to be, you know, what color. It could be purple as far as, you know, scriptures are concerned. Race isn't an issue. Religion is. But they're using that against him. Oh, he married a Cushite woman, so he's got issues. Now, Miriam and Aaron had done great things for the Lord. Let's think about it. Miriam was the one who helped hide Moses in the first place. Without Miriam, there wouldn't be Moses. I'm thinking about right now, Miriam's thinking, I wish I'd put a few more holes in that little ark got stuck on the side. You know, Aaron, he was the only one who got to go back into the Holy of Holies. I mean, they both had important jobs, yet they were jealous of Moses. Moses, in verse 3, says, was very humble. Think about it. Here's a guy who led the children of Israel, went up one-on-one, basically, against the most powerful man on earth, Pharaoh, went against all his magicians with, you know, his staff, was in charge of, through God's power, the 10 plagues. Now he's leading the tribes out. If there's anyone who should be able to say, look, pretty good work here, it'd be Moses. But it says he was humble. He was meek. So even though he had all this that was going for him, he wasn't doing anything that should have caused his brother and sister to talk bad about him. But they did. And we've all been guilty. You know, there's people who believe if I think it, I should be able to say it. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know, I had a chemistry professor, or not professor, teacher in high school, who had a poster on the wall, you know, and it said, the good Lord gave you two ears and one mouth. Think twice, speak once. He was right. How many times would we be better off if we thought about it twice before we opened our mouth? I would be much happier. Most, you know, there's been a lot of times when, you know, you just can't take them back, you know. That, oh, when's the baby due? Oh, you're not pregnant. Oops. Yeah, those type of things. They happen. But James says we're all guilty because it says that no man, and by the way, it's humans, so women, you don't get a pass here. No man or woman can control the tongue. One of the biggest problems we have when it comes to speaking is what basically Miriam and Aaron are doing here. Now, constructive criticism is good. Constrictive criticism is not. Constructive criticism is those things that said, Tim, we really need to find someone to play these praise songs at the beginning, and I agree with you, because Tim is not the piano player to do that. But until someone steps up and says, I will do that, that's a hint. If you can do that, this is a time to volunteer after church this evening. Or if you know someone that's easily manipulated into guilt, let me know, because I'm not too proud to do that. That's constructive criticism. Constrictive, though, is where you're maybe doing it for the wrong reasons. And if we're doing that, then we need four things we need to look at before we criticize someone, before we step on their toes. Those of you who don't know, I stepped on his toes this morning by accident. She was too close, and I took one step back. So she's exempt. I've already stepped on her toes. Here's the question you need to ask before you give criticism to someone. Number one, are my comments against the person or against something they're doing? You know what I'm saying? If they're doing something they shouldn't be doing, then that's probably constructive criticism that they need to hear. If it's a fact that they're a Cubs fan, that's not a good reason to be mean to them. Matter of fact, it's a reason to feel sorry for them. Because we, all of a sudden, after 108 years, felt like what it was like to be winners, and now we're back to where we were. And I won't live 107 more years to see it happen again. So, but if it's about the person and not what they're doing, we need to re-examine what we're saying. That's whether it's a spouse, a friend, a co-worker. Number two, is the criticism really an excuse to say something mean to somebody? You know that, how people sometimes do that? Yeah, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but... Well, then don't finish the sentence. You know, if you have to start with, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but... Good, because like I thought the Lord's siren had gone off and it was time for us to all leave. Okay. If we have to put that disclaimer in there, we shouldn't finish the sentence. Yeah. I really like your shoes. I really like your shoes, actually. I couldn't even come with a good butt to use with that. That was the bad part. But that's how we should be. We shouldn't be looking for ways to attack subtly. We need to make sure that when we speak positive things, encouraging things. It'd be a lot more like Barnabas. Number three. And this comes from verse 3. Let me read verse 3 for you again. It said... Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Hasn't he also spoken through us? The Lord heard it. Ooh. The Lord heard what was going on. So if the Lord knows what we're getting ready to say, have you cleared it with God first? Have you cleared your criticism with God first? All right. In other words, if we want to go back to a few years ago, what would Jesus do? If Jesus would say it, then it's probably okay. But Jesus said things that were hard at times. You know, he claimed that, I'm pretty sure he wasn't smiling when he flipped the tables, you know, and the money changers. I'm sure when he was squatting down, writing in the dirt, because when he, with the woman caught in adultery, I'm thinking when he was writing there, because it says they left from the oldest to the youngest, I'm thinking what he was doing in the dirt. It doesn't say, but I'm thinking he's writing the sins, starting with the oldest guy. Because... Jesus, right? I got to look down and go, I don't think I can throw a stone today. All right, the next one. I don't think I can. So, if Jesus, who was the only one in that case who really had a right to throw a stone, who was without sin, didn't, is God okay with this criticism you're getting ready to do? Because if he is, then go for it. But if he's not, guess what? Don't do it. Last. Am I helping or hurting by what I'm saying? It doesn't mean, just because something is true, doesn't mean we need to say it. You know, if you come up to someone whose face looks like a block of pun, you probably shouldn't come up and say, you know, tell them that. You find something really good about their earrings or something, or their... Because guys wear earrings now, so I'm not picking out them. There was a time I couldn't use that. How we say things and what we say are important. I've used this with some of you people, and you've heard it before, but I'll use it for those of you who missed it. If I come up to Amy and say, when I'm with you, time stands still. She's going to say, that's pretty cool. And I may have a good evening. Now, if I come up to her and say, your face would stop a clock. Basically, it said the same thing. I'm sitting still, stop the clock. I'm not going to have as good an evening. Right? So just because, I mean, a little evening. So just because something's true doesn't mean we have to say it. You know? Sometimes we need to be kind and just overlook certain things. Not to be discouraging. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up according to their needs that may benefit those who listen." What Miriam and Aaron said to Moses had to hurt. According to Ephesians, they shouldn't have said that. We all have times when people say things to hurt us. We're kind of like the two frogs. You know, for some reason, they're up in the barn, and they just finished milking. And there's a nice big old thing, but it's only about half full of milk. They fell in. But there's a lot of cream in that milk. But the other frogs are up there looking down there, and they're like, "Oh, man, there's no way out. You're going to die." So the one frog, he just says, "You're right." Takes a big gulp, sinks to the bottom. He's done. The other frog happens to be deaf. And he looks up at these other frogs. He sees them just making all these things. Now, what they're saying is, you're going to die. You're not going to make it. But he just sees them all. And he thinks they're encouraging him. So he starts trying to get out. And you know what happens when you start agitating cream? Becomes butter. Eventually it becomes butter. He steps out. And they said, "Man, we didn't realize you were going to be able to do that." And now that he can read their lips, he sees what they're saying. He says, "Well, I thought you were encouraging me." "No, not really." But because he saw it as encouragement, not discouragement, he was able to overcome. We need to look at people that are trying to be discouraging to us like the deaf frog. And just say, "You know what? God loves me. God cares about me. And that's all that matters. And just because you think this or I that, if you're criticizing me as a person and not something I've done, if I'm criticizing someone else as a person and not for something they've done, we're wrong. Scripture says that. And we need to be, as individuals, strong enough to stand up to it, but also as individuals being willing to stand up for those that are being hurt, that may be being hurt at work, or at school, if someone's being picked on. We need to be the ones that are there to stand up to them. Never has heard a discouraging word. That should be true. It's not. But let us pray that starting in this building right now, with us, it'll be true for us. Let's pray. Father, help us all to learn to be loving, even when we have to do the hard things about helping someone grow through a tough time. But help us understand the difference between being constructive and being mean. Help us, Lord, all to be able to help each other grow in you without causing pain that doesn't need to be caused. Help us to go from this place to help heal others that may be in pain, and to be encouragers and not discouragers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If the Lord has blessed you, this is a chance to show it. And as you